Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
And hey, we are together. We are recording actually at a timely fashion here. This episode releases in a couple of days, so we can talk about not only what's happening in our studios, because it's actually what's happening now. We can actually include some news this episode, which I know we haven't done for the past few because travel schedules. So what's happening? What are you guys doing? How's summer?
Well, it's been good. It's been busy. A lot of travel again. A little personal travel, but last month I was at the Click Presentation Conference in Seattle.
Yeah, how'd that go? Very excited.
It was good. It was very good. Alongside some old faces who we know, but a bunch of new people in the presentation world who I'd never met before, including a lot of alumni from Duarte Design were out there. Mm-hmm. So there's some other, you know, different clicks and things, which was great, and a lot of attendees. And it was a really good conference. It's part of a larger Adobe-centric conference. So I actually got to meet and talk with the InDesign dev team and some other people at Adobe, and we talked about DataViz and some other things. So that was kind of nice. Picked up some new Adobe and PowerPoint tricks and just had a really good time the first time for me at that conference. And they've been going, you know, for like 15 years, although the presentation part is only year two. Next week, I'm back on the West Coast in San Francisco to give my now, like it's becoming my annual talk to astrophysicists.
I love it.
Which is, I love this. This is my favorite talk of the year. I'm going to be the first speaker of the conference this year. So instead of like the big fancy, you know, astronomy, you know, guru, like kicking off the conference, it's going to be me, because they realized last year putting me in the middle of the conference meant everybody who's presenting at the conference got, you know, very freaked out about, oh, now I have to change my whole presentation, or I did everything wrong yesterday.
Sure.
So I'm speaking first. And then that evening after I talk, we're going to be doing a slide-a-thon. Which is was actually a term given to me by the organizers, but I like it. And they're going to, after I talk, they're going to improve their decks, and we're going to spend some time making them better for the coming week, because they all have to present.
That's awesome. You know, my son-in-law is an astrophysicist. No,
really?
Not son-in-law, my soon-to-be son-in-law, Lauren, got engaged.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah, where does he... Well, now I want to get off an astrophysicist talk, but that's really cool.
Sidetrack. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, they're a cool group of people. So, oh, and my girls turn two this Saturday.
Woohoo! We'll play a little happy birthday song. Yeah.
Congratulations! Yeah. Oh, that's great. They're awesome. Post pictures. Did you get a new family pic taken?
We're always getting stuff taken. We were just in the Dominican Republic last week, so I'll post some pictures from there.
Oh, good.
Soon.
Okay.
We had a lot of fun.
How about you, Troy?
Lots of design, lots of great design. I am back in my studio, back from Europe. We did this extended back-to-back projects and a little bit of touring. Lori and I were in Eastern Europe and experienced the amazing heat wave they've had going on this summer. It was awesome. We spent a lot of time in air-conditioned museums, which is exactly what we wanted to do. And
with great photos, it looks like you had a really good time.
I had a really, really good time. Believe it or not, there was a lot of work involved there. We just didn't post much of that at all.
Sandy,
what are you doing? Yeah.
Well, Budapest, Brainerd, Minnesota. I was in Brainerd. I presented last month.
Isn't that where Fargo is set?
It's on the same...
Or
latitude,
part of it
but okay. It's more in the middle of the state of Minnesota. But I'm going to be presenting the same. My PowerPoint audiences are people too. I'm actually keynoting at the Women in Digital event in September, so that's exciting. I completely opposite of that. I'm working on a court case illustrating a worksite accident. that is, it just really stretches my capabilities. And today I kicked off a conference. You know how I love them, but this is the one client I'm willing to work with.
That is exciting. So everybody's busy. This is great. Yeah. Great. And summer, everybody's good for summer. Everybody's got some, I don't know, summery type plans.
Yeah, we just got back from vacation and headed up to Connecticut this weekend for July 4th.
And where were you on vacation, did you say?
The Dominican Republic.
Were you in Putacana or?
Right next to it. And we, as you can tell from my voice here, I returned alive. So,
yes. Oh, yes.
Because everything is, we are fine.
All right, industry news, because there's a lot happening in the industry. And, you know, we actually haven't talked about it, I think, for two episodes, but let's just talk about what's new, like current presentation industry news.
Let me talk
Anything
first.
Big happening?
Let me talk first. No, I'm just here to congratulate all of us, I guess, you two. We were all found out yesterday that we've been renewed for our MVP award.
Yes.
From Microsoft. Microsoft. Yeah. They sent off some nice, direct, to the point emails announcing it. We're being facetious.
We are being facetious. We all had to.
There was a lot of confusion over, is this the real award and email or not? But
Microsoft not great at the communication thing.
Kind of funny. Yeah, the communication thing didn't exactly come together. But we are renewed. We are MVPs for another year. We will be getting insider information from Microsoft. We get to share our frustrations and excitement with Microsoft. We get to go to the Microsoft MVP Summit. We get to participate in all the kind of behind the scenes conference calls and good stuff. And I think it's a big accomplishment. So round of applause for not only the three of us, but I think everybody we know.
It's a challenge to, and just a quick definition, we get the award for our volunteer contributions to the technical community. And that means different things across the board.
Yeah, we don't get paid.
We do not get paid. Anyway, so congratulations, everybody. That might be a future subject for a podcast. Maybe we have Betsy on board and interviewer.
Ooh, that's an
awesome idea, actually. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of Windows, Sandy, you got to tell us about your, I'm just going to say the Forbes article. You got to frame this up because this is hysterical. I was reading it this morning going, what is this?
So this morning, and I read this on Forbes, but in this morning, Microsoft deleted all of their posts on their Instagram account and then posted a video announcing the forthcoming Windows 1.0. The video is kind of retro feeling. It's a teaser for something, and nobody has an idea. You guys have any guesses?
No idea. Somebody speculated that it was a tie-in with Stranger Things, potentially.
Oh, okay. That releases this week.
Which would be a big product placement.
Okay.
That is pretty funny. We'll post a link to the video if you haven't seen it. But here's the description on the Forbes article, Sandy, because I hadn't seen it. The video in question opens with the modern Windows logo and quickly travels back through time, flipping through previous incarnations of the iconic Windows logo. Other presentation industry-ish?
Yeah, some Apple news. I should be better prepped for this, but there was an update to Keynote. And there were a couple. Troy, did you catch this? There were a couple of interesting features. The one that I like was when image placeholders. When you bring an image in, it'll use smart technology, AI, whatever, to center it according to where the face is.
Kind of like designer.
There are people
does,
in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Designer does do that. Does it? Yeah.
Now Designer does it. Here's a great thing. Keynote is going to get all the publicity and credit for creating an awesome feature because I did actually know about this one, or I did read about this. I haven't seen it because I haven't been around a Mac for the past month because I've been traveling. Yeah, so the Keynote has this grand new feature. They actually have this great AI where it takes I only saw it with a logo, and it was really cool how it like places the logo and it doesn't chop off the logo, but it centers it. Mm-hmm. I remember Microsoft showing us that Designer does the same thing with faces, or it finds the focal point and it tries to, you know, AI guess it. It, first of all, it's only available in Designer photos, so it doesn't work for every insert. Mm-hmm. And second of all, they're going to get no press out of it. And Mac and Keynote are going to, like, as usual, take all the credit and showing that they have a fantastic tool, which it is. it's just kind of funny how Microsoft marketing just doesn't quite get what's important.
To that point, I saw an interaction on social media and someone posted, Keynote is always ahead of PowerPoint. And Echo chimed in saying, no, this is catch up. But she didn't go into the designer discussion.
But it is marketing ahead.
Yeah, it is marketing.
What other features did it have, Nolan? Because I don't know.
That was the only sort of significant one for me. There were a couple other small ones. Like style, maybe some new styles or something, textiles. I don't know. I didn't look at it too. The other obviously big Apple news is that Johnny Ive is leaving Apple to start his own design firm, and his first and biggest client is Apple. anyway, so that's the Apple news. How about news? How about PowerPoint? PowerPoint has some new features that came out that were announced a lot around Designer. Right.
Well, there's a lot of stats on Designer now that are pretty darn amazing. And it's, you know, we really should do an episode about Designer and how it can now be used with like non-Microsoft templates and kind of what it does and how it does. But
that's actually a great idea, because I actually picked up a couple tricks at the Click conference on Designer. I'm starting to use it more and more. It's becoming not just a feature, but like a utility, mm-hmm. I think. So we should definitely do that. But yeah, as you mentioned, it can now apply itself to non-Microsoft templates, so customized templates.
Which is huge.
Which is always a big problem. Now, it's still not always. I'm still not getting, suggestions all the time, but it's definitely suggesting things more often.
It surpassed 1 billion slides being used for it. Which is kind of a funny stat to throw out there, but it does mean it's being used a lot. I probably contributed to 200 of them, but there by mistake, because that little side window pops open and I go to close it, and instead I click the first theme and suddenly I've applied
it. Now, I've used it for presentations. I had quick, fast turnaround presentations, and I did start with my client's template, but I wasn't going to be completely worried about adding diagonals and things like that because of the timeline. And I loved it. I loved the end result, especially with the speed I had to go.
Yeah, we should probably, I'm making a note here to talk
about
Designer.
We'll do a whole episode on it. Designer theme ideas is something they're calling when you first open up PowerPoint with nothing there. Designer on the right-hand side will give you a whole bunch of styles that you can start working in. And Presentation Coach is something they are teasing for PowerPoint as coming later this summer. And I heard conflicting things, but I think it might only come to Windows Online, which seems weird. I'm sorry, PowerPoint Online.
Oh, is this the one that was like the speech coach and the timing and the little red light, green light? Well, they haven't.
The video was not great about demoing it, but.
Do you have the video? Do you know? I haven't seen this.
I think you can find it on, if you go to the Sean Villaron's LinkedIn post about it. It's there. But the videos, it didn't show it very well. But it pops up a little thing like everything from Sandy, as you said, like you're using too many ums, or I think non-inclusive mm-hmm. language, mm-hmm. it will say. Like if you say guys, or which of course I call my girls guys all the time. But one last thing on the Mac side for PowerPoint, they finally, I didn't see a notice about it, but they finally fixed this Mac bug that had been around for well over a year, where in paragraph spacing, if you pull it up by default, it'll say like 0 PT. But if you want it to be like 3 points or 6 points, you just type in 6 and hit enter. It would give you an error. You had to type in 6 PT. Which drove me up a wall. And finally they fixed it to return to the past behavior, which is you just type the number and hit enter and it's fine. It knows what you're doing.
I haven't experienced that. Actually, I probably experienced it, but didn't know what it was me. That was the problem.
Yeah, it was never an issue on the PC.
So the last one I think I'll cover, it's kind of interesting, and it kind of, again, hints at what's coming. This one's an Excel only thing. But you can develop the map in Excel and you can put it into PowerPoint. But it's really about AI data points being added to a map. And it's pretty darn cool. You can create a map in Excel, like a map being a US or a global map, and you put your data in there and it'll highlight those. If it's a US map, it'll highlight those states. If it's a global map, it'll highlight those countries, and it'll show you the values for them. It's a really, really cool implementation of things in Excel now. I'm going to say now, I'm not sure it's rolled out everywhere. They literally have a filled map option, and then you go into map chart options, and it creates these really cool dynamic data viz like maps. And, you know, this will roll into presentation work a lot. Actually, some of the displays are kind of clunky because they're very much data-based, but I will throw the link in there so you guys can read it. It's a brand new article from Microsoft kind of explaining this new feature, but I think it's pointing to where AI is going to go for us in designing content, which obviously we talked about PowerPoint Designer. That is a total AI-driven feature as well. So there's some cool stuff happening. So today, we get to talk about the fact that everyone needs software, hardware, and tools to make their company or their department run. Today, we, Nolan, Sandy, and myself, we're talking about and comparing notes on what each of us use, some of the things we've tried, some of the things on our wish list, maybe some of the things we're not going to ever use again because we tried them. Anyways, they're everything we need to run our presentation design studios. So it's a very encompassing talk, and we're also going to talk a little bit about the podcast and the hardware and equipment, software and whatnot we use for that as well. So let's go.
Excellent. Well, let's start by talking about the big stuff. What computers do you use on a regular basis?
Well, I consider myself primarily Mac-based, so I'm staring at a 27-inch 5K iMac and a matching cinema display as a second monitor. I got my Wacom Bamboo tablet on my left, my Magic Mouse on my right. It's the old style with batteries, so I don't have to worry about the poor design of the rechargeable. I've got a wireless Apple keyboard. I also have a four-year-old MacBook Air that I love, and it's probably the best laptop I've ever owned. I use that when traveling or sitting on the couch. But I do have a PC as well. So I've got a Surface Laptop 2, which I also really like. I got that last year. I use that a few times a week to, you know, take PC screenshots or use a PC-only plugin or troubleshoot font issues. And that's also my training laptop since most of my clients are PC-based. I've got a bunch of G Drive standalone hard drives, which I love for backup, my Apple Time Capsule, and also Backblaze. And I do have an iPad, but I mostly use it for my indoor bike training software and to play videos for my kids on the plane. I don't really use it for work, but it's really old. It's like it's a MacBook Air or iPad Air, or whatever. I don't know. It's really old, but it's still kicking. Like I have no reason to get a new one. How about you, Troy?
Well, I'm primarily Windows based. We have a couple of Macs in the studio,
and yet we're friends.
And yet we are. You know, I started in, we'll go. I started with an Apple Lisa, was my original design.
My first computer interface was an Apple II. So, I mean, not two, but also. Huh?
Primarily Mac. My primary computer is a Lenovo X1 Extreme laptop. Love this laptop. It is not quite as powerful as previous computers I've used, but the fact that it's kind of rivaling the MacBook for weight. I mean, it's just so light, so thin, and it has all the ports I want. Little dig at Apple there for having only USB-C, but I have two USB-Cs, two USB 3.0s, and I've got everything on it. Really, really, really like this laptop. The designers, as comparison, they're still streamlined, but they're using a little bit larger, a little bit heavier 15-inch laptop. It's a Lenovo Legion gaming series laptops, and they basically have a more robust graphics card. So if I have some really heavy duty video rendering and stuff, I'm actually not doing it with this one. I'm going into the office and I'm stealing one of the computers there and leveraging that. My keyboard. So I have everything in duplicate. So I have my home studio and I have the office studio. And so I have everything duplicated there. So I'm not cheap to have around because I want to have the same work environment. So let's see, your keyboard. I use the Logitech gaming series. They're both wired. Keyboard and mouse. I've just found that they work great. I run dual 26-inch Samsung monitors. I don't know what model they are, but I do know they have a 2-millisecond refresh rate, which was the thing that sold me on them. You know, I talked about this before, but I have this new Lenovo ThinkPad USB-C dock. So, you know, I have a laptop, it sits down, and it's a single cable to connect it. And it's just one USB-C cable, and that runs literally everything I talked about. That connects, that adds the power to the laptop, which is amazing because this is not a lightweight laptop. It has a true NVIDIA graphics card. So it does the power, it runs both monitors, it has my webcam, it has this microphone system that I'm using now, keyboard, everything runs through one docking station. It's really, really nice. And it also has one cable connection. I'll talk about the iPad later. Mine's a very similar thing. My second computer is a Microsoft Surface Pro. So I still, you know, that's my, I travel with it. I use it a lot of times. As a secondary laptop, it's a little bit smaller for airplanes, and so I use that one still a lot.
Yeah, that's, I sold my Surface Pro last year and traded it in for the
move to the laptop. Yeah, yeah, again, I just wanted, I like that small form factor. So I got a question, Nolan. You said you have your Wacom tablet on the, and I used to have a Wacom tablet. I've actually kind of moved away from using them over the past few years. I used to be like, that's all I used, and I'm now back to mousing again. But you said it's on your left side. Are you left-handed? Do I not notice?
Well, I'm technically left-handed, but I'm a little ambidextrous. So I have my mouse on the right hand and my pen on the left. I mostly, and I use both. And I started this a few years ago, many years ago, when I started having some hand pain. And I tried different mouses, whatever, different things. Right. And then I said, well, let me try the pen. And it was good, but not for everything. And now I found that by being able to switch off and go back and forth between hands when I need to for different things, it has, I know, no more hand pain. And some things are easier with a pen, some things are easier with the mouse. So yeah,
absolutely. I did the same thing. That's why I'm left-handed, but I had the Wacom tablet on the left and I could use it, the, you know, the pen as a stylus on that while simultaneously mousing with the right hand. And it was a great setup. I've just kind of moved away from it lately. It's mainly because I'm doing so much more travel and I just don't want to carry that many peripherals. No. But that was, you caught me there. Sandy, what do you use? What's your primary computer setup?
Well, I am Windows based, although I do have a MacBook from, oh gosh, that would be about 7 or 8 years old that I opened when necessary. So, but I primarily work on my Surface Studio and I am the original Surface Book. So my Surface Studio is a 28 inch. When it came out, you know, it has that great levered adjustment.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful computer. And I've had it as long as I've had any computer, which is about 2 years. Usually I go through them every 2 years. I love it. My Surface Book, the laptop, I got that a few years ago. And that's my travel computer. Love it because I link with Dropbox and I have access to everything I have here in my home office. It, what was I going to say about it? Oh, I know. I use it as a secondary monitor in my office if I need that. But for the most part, I don't use dual monitors, which is kind of something I got out of the habit of doing when I got my Surface Studio. I also use the Surface keyboard wireless. It's nice and sleek. It reminds me of the Apple keyboard. My hands are starting to ache, so I think it's too small. I need to have my arms spread a little bit more. I might go back to my old ergonomic version of Microsoft also has an ergonomic keyboard, not as pretty, but I might have to go for that to that for practical reasons. And then my mouse is a wireless Logitech Performance MX, you know, the big ergonomic ones that fits in the palm of my hand.
So we all have systems, we all use computers, we have pretty robust, we each have multiple computers. Next topic. What are we going to talk about? What do we use? That'd probably be a good one to talk about, seeing as how we are design studios. Nolan, what do you primarily use? What's like the biggest use apps?
InDesign, Photoshop, Illustrator.
That's so the, Adobe Creative Cloud.
Yes, pretty much. Bridge occasionally, like once a month. Lightroom, but pretty much just for personal photos. Acrobat DC, of course. That's the end of my Adobe software.
Should we include Office in your list?
How awful of me not to. Yes, PowerPoint and that wonderful design tool, Microsoft Word. No, I don't use Word.
No.
I don't know if Excel is not a design program, but yes, PowerPoint, of course. Keynote, again, like every rare once in a while, but we're just not doing a lot in it, and haven't looked at Prezi in years. So,
oh, I got a Prezi story. We just had a client say they want to use Prezi for their meeting. We're like, great. And the designer, actually today, that designer is at the executive rehearsals, and one of the executives are going to do it. And I was like, okay, here's the parameters. We will run it. We don't design any longer in Prezi. So, you know, it's a great program. We use it probably, it pops up one every 12 meetings, maybe every 20 meetings. And it's fine. I'm like, hey, just give us the, you know, package it up and executable. We'll run it. There's nothing we can do during the show. It's really big problem is you lose a lot of the flexibility during a live event of being able to predetermine what's going to happen, looking ahead, reordering easily, you know, this and that. So Prezi works great. We just don't see it as much anymore. So I didn't include it in my list either. Sandy, what'd you include in your list?
PowerPoint is my design tool of choice. And I mentioned early on today that I'm creating an animated illustration for a court case. And I'm much more efficient in PowerPoint than I am in Illustrator. Although I do use Illustrator, and that's on my list too. I would say second would be Illustrator, and then Photoshop. I know. Then they're kind of auxiliary tools that I use. I use Snagit. I use that Windows Snip tool, Snip and Sketch, or whatever it's called now. Yes, a lot.
Do you? Okay. It's a great feature. I just don't know if a lot of people use it. And if you have Snagit, I never look at it. Huh. Okay, for me, I'm going to go with Microsoft Office. PowerPoint is number one design tool. The full Adobe Creative Cloud. Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, Premiere, After Effects, Audition, and Media Encoder. And yeah, Nolan, you're right. Acrobat DC is huge. I use it all the time for making custom sized and multiple up printouts. Occasionally, I use Dreamweaver. We do a lot of HTML email campaigns. I actually don't code many of them anymore, but we use Dreamweaver for that element. So I think we're making full use of the Adobe Creative Cloud suite.
I always feel guilty when you look at the Creative Cloud sort of dashboard. It shows like all these like dozens and dozens of apps.
We use three.
and I also I don't even know what most of them are.
There's a lot out there. You know, I'm going to throw in there Snagit because I use Snagit multiple times per day. And many of those times are for literally design purposes. So I use it for communication, but I also use it for design. If you go to the blog, virtually every image created on the blog is captured with Snagit and prepped and saved out. And yeah, so Snagit is definitely a design tool for us as well. Okay, let's shift gears. Let's go to... off of the desktop computer, what do you have for like a phone or a mobile device, the actual device?
I've got an iPhone 8 and AirPods, which I love. Although I think I'm going to have to get new ones eventually. I'm kind of embarrassed by this, but on vacation, I was walking around with them, and then I decided
to go
into
the swimming pool wearing them.
I decided to do some laps actually. And you just forget. And I'm listening to my podcast, and the next thing I know, I was like, wait a minute, the music stopped. Oh, wait a minute, I'm underwater. Of course it's stopped. So one of them worked. One of them was no problem. The other one, my bass went out on it. So it's fine. You can still listen to it and for podcasts and it's okay. But then I've also heard people who've run them through the washing machine and they're still fine. So yeah. So I was a little upset with myself. So that's what I got. How about you?
But I use a Galaxy Note 8 Android, of course. And my headset is the Jabra Pro. I don't know what model it is, but it's, I keep it on a station here on my desk, and it switches seamlessly between my computer and my phone. And I really like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And you said you had the Bose, I'm assuming those are like the Bose.
Yes.
The earbuds.
Thanks for clarifying. Oh, right. Not those little earbuds that I could fall asleep in. And
I also use an iPhone 8. I'm good with it. And I actually have I have the Bose noise canceling earbuds, which I love. They fit so well. I use them for, you know, I'm on airplanes all the time. So I use them for that, but I also have the full size over the ear, the full size headphones, mm-hmm. the Bose noise canceling. And like for the international travel, I use those on longer flights and they're great. My iPad mini, it's a mobile device. It is still here. It's pretty much not a part of my digital life except for like certain specific needs. I don't even carry it with me anymore. I just don't really use the iPad that much. Not that it's bad. It's just, I just haven't moved, my life's kind of moved past it. So I guess I still include it. It's sitting right here on my desk, right next to the Surface laptop, or Surface Pro, but I don't use it that whole much.
I use it for listening to podcasts. That's why I use my iPad.
Well, you see, and the iPhone, I do virtually everything on the iPhone now. So everything I used to do on that, and maybe it's because I'm wearing reading glasses now, so I don't have to worry about the smaller size of the iPhone. And my iPad just went to the wayside of life.
It will. I forgot to mention that I also have my Surface headphones. I love them, but I do not carry them with me when I travel. It's just one more big bulky thing, and I don't want them to get squashed.
How about websites and email? I have two WordPress sites hosted by Bluehost. Not my favorite host, but I haven't had any issues with them, so I'm sticking with them. MailChimp for my mailing list. Exchange email accounts managed by Microsoft for $4 a month, which I mentioned in the past. I think it's an incredible bargain. And TweetDeck I use for Twitter. And what about you guys?
Okay. I use Outlook on my iPad, on my Android phone. Net Acceleration, I think it's a Minneapolis-based host site. I'm thinking of switching, which it's to me, it's such a hassle to do, but they're just not updating my WordPress add-ins and all of that. Chloe, my project manager, usually finds that something hasn't been updated and we have to go to them to do. But that's it. How about you, Troy?
We use one-on-one hosting for all of our sites. And so we have multiple, and every site is a WordPress site. So we're using WordPress exclusively. And we self-manage all of our WordPress sites. We don't let them do the automated. A lot of hosting platforms will do the automated WordPress updates and setup and everything else. I don't go for that. But we have, we have myself and a couple other people that do web design in the studio. So we manage all of our own stuff there. I've been using Office 365. From Microsoft since it released, actually since before it released. I basically pleaded my way into getting an advanced access to it. And we use it for all of our email. It changed everything for the better when we did that. So all email is done through Office 365. It shows up on the desktop, shows up on the phone. It shows up on mobile. We can do a web login. I love it. I really, really like it.
I'm sorry, Troy, but that's what I actually use. I said Outlook, which is what the tool is, but it's Office 365. So it's everywhere, Office everywhere.
Yes, I think it's great. Well, I do use Outlook, but I use Outlook on, actually, this is a good question for Nolan, because Sandy, I use the Outlook app for mail on my mobile phone, on my iPhone. I found it, I like it better. There are a few things about it I don't like, but I like it better than the Apple Mail option, to be very honest. And it does all my calendars much better than the Apple calendar scenario. But we have the calendars through Office 365, so everything filters in. Nolan, what do you use for mail on your phone?
I use the Mail app.
You do?
I do have Outlook. I actually have it loaded.
It's
and
different.
I can use it. Yeah, and I love Outlook on the desktop. I've just gotten so comfortable with Apple Mail or the app, the Mail. I feel like I've had one or two issues with it not showing something from one direction or the other, but for the most part, yeah, it's fine. And I get all my invites for, somebody sends me an email and I go with an invite. If I go to the calendar app, it's there. Mm-hmm. It knows. So
it knows.
I don't even have.
Yeah.
All right. How about podcasting and webinar hardware? We're gonna let Troy go first here because he's the tech guru.
Okay, so here's a list. And I will also preface this. The show notes for this are basically just going to be a laundry list of links so everybody can find everything. So Nolan and Sandy, I need you to give me links for everything you've talked about. Obviously, the generic ones, Office 365 and whatnot, I've got that under control. We record all of our podcasts using Zencastr. It's Z-E-N-C-A-S-T-R, no E-R. And we used it since it was a beta program. It's now a full release program. I think tons and tons of people use it. I actually don't remember how we found it. This is the best online recording platform out there. I am not a paid endorser. I don't know anything about the company outside the fact that this stuff works, because we're recording three of us right now and we get three discrete audio tracks. So when I drop this into Audition, I have three audio tracks, and like I just did a big sneeze a minute ago. No one here listening is going to hear it because I will edit that out. And it's a really, really simple, fantastic thing. It has two limitations. One is you have to use Chrome web browser. Mm-hmm. Not that's a limitation, but you have to have it. And two is it's only available for the desktop. It doesn't have a mobile option. It doesn't have an app, and you can't use the mobile version of Chrome. I'd say those are the two biggest downfalls for it right now. We use Libsyn, Libsyn, for hosting all of the podcast episodes. Again, there is a ton of companies out there. They're just one that seemed to have everything we needed, and we made a selection, and we will stick with it for the current future. But you know, we'll see what else is out there. We do use Adobe Audition for all the audio editing. When I said Audition for my design software little segment, it was a lot talking about the podcast here. So definitely use Adobe Audition. I do a lot of other audio editing and pull it into Audition for that. Headphones wise, you know, we want to listen to ourselves recording through headphones. I use Sennheiser headphones. They're a wired model. They are fantastic and they are super economical. I do recommend the MD202s. I think they've since discontinued them. I bought them for everybody in the studio because they're like $25 each. So we just bought like a 12 pack of them and said, here, everybody's got headphones. They're comfortable. You can wear them for hours and the audio quality is fantastic. Now, here's something I know we're all going to have differences on, and that's what microphone we record with. I use, and this is kind of funny, I have two different microphones because I have a microphone set up here at the home studio where I try and do all the recording. I also have one at the office studio at my desk, and we have a third one because we have another recording booth area. But I use an MXL990. It's an XLR mic, so it's not a direct USB connection. And I went to look up the link for this, and that price has dropped tremendously since I bought this one 3 years ago. It's now like $70. When I bought it, it was like, I think $250. It does a good job. I use the Shure X2U, which is an XLR to USB signal adapter. It basically lets me get this microphone into the computer. So that thing is phenomenal. And the last thing I use, which I really like, is this Monoprice microphone isolation shield. So it's basically, at my studio, I actually lined the two walls around my computer with sound isolating foam, you know, the little pyramid shaped foams. So I use that there. This is a little mobile stand and I'm using it. It's kind of propped up right in front of me and it keeps a lot of the noise from the rest of the house from getting into the microphone recording. So I really like that thing. It's just a very cool thing. Okay, there's the big list. That's all that podcast list. Stuff. Norm, what do you use?
Not much. I've got an Audio Technica 2020 USB mic. It's on a boom attached to my desk. There's a little, what's it called? Spit screen, windscreen, pop screen.
Oh, something. Yeah, I didn't mention that. Yeah, pop screen is really important for in front of it.
Oh, you're done. You've had it.
You're done. Mine is called a vocal booth. That's what you're talking about, right?
What is it?
Oh, your spit screen. You're talking about
just the thing in front of the microphone. You know, I do have one of those like semicircular things for sound, but I don't use it. And you guys haven't told me my sound is terrible. So
your sound is always great, but you know, talking to you in person, it's just coming through. It's you.
That's what I got. I've got some headphones. I don't even know what they are. Hang on.
Probably Polson.
Polson. Yeah. I don't know.
Why would you guess that, Sandy? That's because amazing.
I'm pretty sure he recommended him.
Oh, so I see on the notes.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So we're using like the same stuff.
We are, with the exception of the newer vocal booth, because I just needed these sound to stop from reverberating throughout my
office. Now, how do you mount it? Is it on your desktop or is it on like a stand?
The vocal booth is on my desk, and I attach my microphone to it.
Oh, to it.
And the little spit guard thing to it.
Okay.
You know, the Audio-Technica microphones, do those go USB right at the bottom or do they use XLR? I don't know.
USB.
USB. They work great. They sound great. They
do. Great.
They don't have any gain on them. There's, mm-mm, which sometimes I've found to be an issue, but yeah.
You know what? Pretty good. Hold on. Peering around. No, my microphone does not have it built in. But the Shure adapter has gain, monitor leveling, because my headphones plug right into it, not the laptop. And I've got a monitor mix. You know, it has a lot of controls like right on it, sort of like a very small audio console. So we've talked about podcast hardware. There you go, everybody that podcasts. You can now get a full list of everything. And in the show notes, we'll have links to everything. We've talked about design software. What about like other presentation related hardware? What's some of the stuff you use when you're presenting? Pretty much when you're presenting or you're setting up presenters, what do you have that you take to a presentation?
I like my Logitech Spotlight remote, which I was not an initial fan of, but I've been won over. I always like Logitech's, but the new Spotlight remote is really cool. So I use that. I use a Microsoft mouse, a little travel mouse, and I've got a little travel kit that fits in a small camera backpack. That's just got a host of adapters, extension cords, cables, batteries, and such. How about you, Sandy?
I also use the Logitech Spotlight remote. Every time I use it, somebody buys it. So, I mean,
really?
Oh my gosh, my clients, not mine, but for example, I get an email afterward. What was that remote you used? I wanted to get it. And cool. So
Little Amazon, like a link on your website to get like 4 cents.
There you go. it's so intuitive. I use it mostly because I do interactive presentations and that is seamless. I went up, I had no chance to practice a presentation that I was delivering to a sales group. I had to show them the interactivity and I was able to hone in on the hyperlink, click and advance to where I wanted to go. It was really, really great.
I wish it was more ergonomic.
Yes, it is very ergonomic.
No, I was going to say it's not. Actually.
Oh, it's not?
I wish it was a little more like the older ones.
Trust me, I can
show you non-ergonomic. The older remotes were literally garage door remotes with buttons on the front. So it's pretty darn cool. I like the USB-C charging on it, but
that's kind of buried nice.
You probably don't travel with your giant size mouse. Are you a trackpad user or are you a mouse user when you travel?
I use the Microsoft ArcMark mouse. ArcMark?
ArcMark.
Microsoft Arc mouse. You know, the one that pushes flat when you're not using it.
I've got one. I have like a mouse museum because I just buy them and I never, I don't know why. I just decide.
So you didn't adopt the Microsoft
Arc? The Arc mouse? No, I never loved it for some reason.
It's a lot of people don't like it. And I don't know that I could use it every day, but it is perfect for traveling. It's nice for being on the airplane. It's got a really small footprint. So I really like it. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know if this falls into this category, but I present on GoToMeeting all the time. And that's kind of a software thing, but I'm using my computer. But I want to add that to the mix I use GoToMeeting all the time. Couldn't live without it.
I used Zoom because I find it a little sort of like, I think it's the simplest.
It is.
And limited features, but for me, I like it.
It's less expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's still a free version, isn't there?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't even have a subscription. Like whenever I need it, I pay for a month.
Okay.
For like $15 and then say goodbye to it. How about you, Troy?
SMK Link Navigator Remote. Hands down, best thing. Everybody should own them. They are a great remote and I'll put a link to it.
Those are the really, no, that's not the.
It's like the silver one with the black top. No, not the really expensive one. That's my next one. This one, the nice thing about this one is. The SMK, you can buy additional receivers and you can control multiple computers with one remote. I know that's not everybody's thing, but for me, it is. I've run 12 computers simultaneously with this remote. Now, that's for me backstage. I'm not out on the stage. It has about a 30-foot range, so it's definitely a behind-the-scenes thing. The more expensive option is the Desan PerfectQ, and I use the Mini. It is the remote to use. It's the industry standard. Anytime you go present at a professional event, they're most likely going to hand you a Desan Q-Lite system, and it's hooked up to the perfect Q. It's the industry standard for everything.
But when we say expensive, it's like $800, $700.
I mean, yeah, the SMK is like $80, and the Desan Perfect Q is, yeah, it's $700.
Yeah, Logitech's about $100.
I also, now here's a great little tip. I also carry, if you're presenting, I have a small USB audio adapter. You literally plug it into a USB port. It has an audio out. It's tiny. It's the size of a USB key. I use it only when necessary. And every now and then something happens where the audio signal is not getting to the system. You know, when you plug in the headphone jack, there's all kinds of different scenarios. I'm saying that's a really good tip of hardware to bring with you. They're like $7 on Amazon. I use a Microsoft Bluetooth mouse. I don't have it with me, but it's a smaller Microsoft one. And I have a Pelican 1510, which is basically a carry-on size suitcase that's indestructible, and it's just shoved with cables and adapters and geeky stuff. So I carry a lot. There, how was that? Timing?
That was good. Yes. How about other business tools? Just sort of general running your business. And
like software-ish, what are you thinking?
Yeah, other business stuff.
Okay, so maybe I could pull into the GoToMeeting into this section here, because
yep, that would
every
work.
Single meeting I have, I hold on that. Rarely is it done on telephone anymore. Of course, there's Office 365, but I don't use the OneDrive component. I use Dropbox instead. I was an early adopter of QuickBooks Online, and I can't say enough about it. I could not run my business without it. And then, of course, anything that my clients require, and that varies on any given day, whether it's
that is the best phrase. I use the software that my clients use. You know, we adapt to them.
When they force me to use Box, grip my teeth. And
I like Box. I was going to ask, we should have a conversation about the differences, or what we like about Dropbox, Box, OneDrive, Google Drive, because we use them all. And I would like to say, here's what I like from each of them. Could somebody just build the one app that does it all?
Yeah.
So you use obviously Dropbox then.
I use Dropbox Pro. I could not live without it. I mean, it really is just syncing between computers and always having something there and a backup. I pay for the extended backup. Mm-hmm. So I think I get 3 months or maybe it's 6 months. I don't know what it is. And the prices actually just went up. I just got an email, I think about a month ago, they went up. So
how do I know
still,
if I have that?
It's still
if you're paying anything, you got the pro version.
Yeah, essentially.
I got the same email, but what's really funny, Nolan, is we must have just renewed because they're like, hey, our prices are going up. You don't have to pay till 2020. So we were locked into the older rates, I guess, for one more year.
There till September.
Okay.
On my old rates. And I actually looked at, I'm sort of like on the fence about, you know, going up one more level in features, but I don't think I quite need it. They do have some interesting new features like expiration dates on download links and passwords that you can give for download links.
We use that all the time. Wait, yeah, through Dropbox.
Yeah. So you must have the next level account.
Yeah, we had to make our own little internal how-to sheet because it wasn't totally intuitive. What about accounting? Because I know you don't use QuickBooks, so you've mentioned this one before.
I'm on FreshBooks, which is not accounting software, but it's invoicing software.
But it does it all, doesn't it?
Fair. It doesn't do accounting. I mean, does invoicing. You can do time tracking with it.
Yes.
I don't really do that, but I like it. There's some things I don't like. They did this thing a year or two ago where they made new FreshBooks, rebuilt from scratch. And they simplified things and took away features. And they said, but if you still like the old one, you can be on the old one. And I'm still on the old one. And, you know, so on my phone, I have they just changed the icon to like this grayed out, it's called FreshBooks Classic. And every time I look at it, it really just reminds me of them's telling me, you're behind the times. So I'm still on that. So I like that a lot. I don't really use official accounting software, but my banking software is something called Banktivity. Used to be called iBank. And at the time, you know, I've been using it for years and years. There just was almost nothing for the Mac just to manage your bank accounts. So I use that and I'm waiting for the day that they just disappear and I'll have to go with something else. But we'll put a link in for that. Outlook and Excel. I do a lot of tracking in Excel for stuff. Occasionally Google Sheets or Docs, although those tend to be more for personal stuff.
Huh. Project management is huge for us, so it's a major business tool. We've settled on Workflow Max, which is a an offshoot or a component of Xero, X-E-R-O, which is basically QuickBooks Online for everywhere but the U.S. They're in the U.S. They're just not as big. We do use QuickBooks Online, Sandy. I think we adopted it probably the same timeline. We've been using it forever for all of our accounting, all the invoicing. We use it. They're accepting credit card payment option, and we use the payroll option.
That's right.
So really big on QuickBooks Online. Boy, when it comes to file transfers, we have Dropbox Pro, Box Pro, Hightail Pro, Google. Google Drive is the only one I don't think we pay. No, we have the Google Business. What do you call the business suite? G Suite, which comes with Google Drive Pro, I guess. I can't live without OneNote, and I'm kind of having a hard time because I'm using the classic version. You know, you're talking about your classic version of the accounting banking software. I'm still using the classic version of OneNote, and I just tried the newer version and I didn't like it. So I'm dreading the day when things just stop working there. For business tools, we're huge on SharePoint for communication internally. And we're actually now starting to build out, we're going to most likely replace Workflow Max, our project management system, with a home-brewed system. We're building out our own system in SharePoint because I just can't find something that does everything we want at a price point I want. So we're also dabbling with Microsoft Teams. So I'm going to call it a business tool, but not fully there yet. You know, the last one I'll talk about is our phone systems because, you know, Sandy, you said hardly any of your stuff is done through phones, and we've been really struggling with this. We're paying a lot of money per month for a business phone system. And we just don't really use it a lot, but you can't get away with not having it. And I don't want one phone where everybody runs around the office like we did, you know, a dozen years ago. So we're currently using 8x8, which is a which is an all online business phone thing company. We have these really nice Cisco IP phones. I mean, it's all great, but I'm really, really close to signing the contract and switching to another company called Pulsar 360. And we're going to use Yealink phones. Y-E-A-L-I-N-K. The phones are cool. But again, we use an 8x8. We use their conference calling system. We use their online, you know, what you'd use GoToMeeting for anything smaller than 20 people. We use it for that. This Pulsar 360, the price is better. Their features are better. We kind of had a big blow up with 8x8 and them not allowing us to block a lot of the junk calls coming in. We're just getting robocalls. All the time now. It's just driving. The phones are basically, we're ready to unplug them because of this whole scenario. And Pulsar 360 said, yep, we can solve all those problems that the other company said they wouldn't address.
So Troy, I'm really curious. I want you to keep me updated on whether you go with them because I'm with 8x8 at your recommendation. And like you, I barely use it and I use like 1% of the features, but you can't not have it.
Exactly.
What do you use it for? Tell me the scenarios.
Well, my desktop, that's my office phone. So if I have a conference calls with people or anything, I mean, that's my desktop phone. I don't want to always be using my cell phone. I want to keep that separate. And additionally, I just get a little slightly better service. My cell phone doesn't get amazing service in my office. But also I like the voicemail. It sends me an email with the voicemail. But you're right. I've been getting robocalls left and right. And I feel like I'm paying too much for what I use, but I will say this. I called them up a few weeks ago and said, what can I do about getting my rate down? And without saying anything else, they said, okay, we're going to lower your rate to X. And then I asked again, is there anything else that I can do? And she said, okay, yeah. And I'm going to lower this part of the rate as well.
Wow. I should have done that a while ago. Actually, I tried doing that. We actually removed two of the phone lines because we're, you had a much better experience than I did. How's that?
I have nothing to remove. I have one phone and one phone line.
We have like 20 seats and all this other stuff.
So let me know about Pulsar 360 because I'm tired.
Yeah, it's a small company that's been getting, they're not small. They're small business minded and I've been really liking it. The problem is their website. I think they're kind of like me. They haven't had time to update their website. It's like so hard. I've been dealing now directly with they actually have real people you talk to. And it's been great. And he's been giving me all the answers. Like, why can't I find that website? He's like, yeah, we don't really have that info up there yet.
What gadgets haven't we covered?
I don't know.
Let me start. I've got more gadgets.
Okay. Yeah. I bet you do.
Okay, I'll give two. I have, because everybody uses a laptop. Have you guys, it's Curb, C-U-R-B, all caps. It's a laptop riser. It's literally just a little not neoprene. What do you call it? It's a hard rubber triangle. It just elevates the back of the laptop. So typing, it's at an angle and it also keeps it cool. I think it's a great gadget. They're like $12 on Amazon. Highly like them. And the other gadget I really like is a pen loop. And I gotta explain this. I carry notepads all the time, and it's just a little sticky element you put at the back page, and it adds a little elastic loop for your pen to go mm-hmm. into. So there's always a pen with my.
I have to get one of those.
They're so cool. I originally bought this really nice, notebook, notepad, and it had it in the back. I was like, this is great. But I spent like $35 for this, basically a thing of paper. And when I went to this other ones, it's like, well, maybe I could order that or find it. And yeah, you can. So I'll put a link to a pen loop. It's a cool gadget.
Is that, those are two? I'll give one. The Mophie battery chargers. I've got a couple of them and can't live without them. They're basically the size of my iPhone. So they have integrated cables. So I don't need extra cables.
The integrated cable would be really cool. I was in Europe and didn't have the cable with me and was suddenly like, great, I have a battery, but no way to charge.
Yeah. One of them sort of went dead at one point, but, and out of warranty, but I still love them. They really hold a big charge.
That's good.
That's what I got.
Well, I love my Surface Pen. I've started using it for personal stuff almost more than work at this point. Although I was driven to become better at inking, drawing, whatever, in PowerPoint because of a client's need. But recently, I don't know. Did you guys see my bee?
I saw it. I was amazed. It's
phenomenal.
I didn't know you could draw. It's really, really
well,
nice.
No, what's even more, man, you did that whole thing not only with your pen, but you did it in PowerPoint using it as an Illustrator program, right?
Exactly. I use the pen. There's a pencil option. So I use that mostly. It gives not a feel when you're using it because it's more slick than that. You don't feel that grittiness, but I like the slickness. But it comes out looking like a pencil, and I love it. With my new Surface Pen that Microsoft replaced because two of my other ones broke. But it's really fun. I put a link to – I animated
– Nolan, I'm seeing a theme here. She broke her headphone. She broke her pencil.
I'm hard on my things, aren't I? It's on Twitter. I'll put a link in the notes.
I think it would be great. Actually, send me like a JPEG just so I can throw it in the show notes right next to it because it is really, really dynamic.
Thank you. And I use a sketchbook for brainstorming presentations, the flow.
That's not software. You mean like a physical sketchbook, right?
A physical sketchbook. You're right. I designed one and I have it available. If anyone wants it, just reach out
to me. It's very cool.
And my Tumi backpack. It's a nice structured, organized piece of equipment that allows me to be organized on the road.
Cool, cool, nice. Cool. Let's jump, because we talked about this, how about mobile phone software? Because we didn't really talk about, because a lot of the software we use can be used on your phone. Do you use anything specific business related or design related on your phone?
Nothing. I mean, the FreshBooks app, Dropbox, PowerPoint, nothing like beyond that. Nothing special.
Sandy,
what
do
about
you,
Sandy?
I use Slack because the guild is on Slack 100%. That's how we communicate. And I have other nonprofits that I'm a part of. So that's really important. I use Snapseed for photo editing. Love it.
I downloaded that from your recommendation. I like it.
I do like it. Of course, there's Delta Airlines app. There's my banking app. Stitcher for podcasts, LinkedIn, all the social media stuff.
Mm-hmm. I am on the iPhone. And according to Lori, my most used app is the Starbucks app. Spotify is probably right behind it because that's the way I get music in my car and when I'm flying. I like Google Photos Pro has been my go-to lately because, my phone fills. I mean, on this last European trip, I think I took 4,000 or 5,000 photos of things and they just upload right to Google Photos. I bought the unlimited plan or semi-unlimited and it does high res. I use eWallet. That's my password software program. It works on the desktop and on my phone. And then I use the Microsoft Suite. I love using PowerPoint on the iPhone because it is pretty realistic to the desktop version. So do we have any productivity or software kind of last thing? Did we miss anything that kind of falls outside of these categories? Productivity, software, tools type of things.
One password couldn't live without. Love that. I use it on my phone as well, mostly on desktop. Evernote. I do use OneNote, mostly for you guys, but I use Evernote for everything else. And Paparazzi is this tiny little screen capture thing that for capturing full websites that I've used for years. And and I really like that. It'll capture like a really long website as a PDF. So I use that. And we'll put a show.
Is that a Mac only?
It is Mac only. Yeah. I don't know if there's a similar piece.
I use Snagit for that. Sandy, I don't even know if the Windows snip one will do a longer than what's viewable on the screen.
Yes. It'll scroll.
Okay.
The newer version will. And you can use the timer and everything.
You know, we got to wrap up because my whole house smells like incredibly fresh baked cookies. Lori is having a whole group over and I'm getting the signal that I've got to be gone in 5 minutes because I'm not invited. Thank you. On the productivity side, there are two that I can't live without: Snagit and OneNote. I use eWallet and I love 7-Zip. If you're on a Windows computer, 7-Zip is like the best thing for not only compressing and uncompressing files, it lets you jump inside of a PowerPoint file and get files out of it seamlessly. Everyone has their own personal collection of apps, software, devices, computers, and more. And it's always fun and often helpful to see what other designers are using and, well, gaining ideas from the experiences of other users. So just as a closing note, we are not paid to endorse any of these products, at least Sandy, Nolan, we're not endorsing any of these, right? By paid?
No.
Okay. They are honestly what we do use, like as of today, as a part of our business. The show notes for this episode are going to be a long list of links, virtually everything we mentioned, and we hope it is a helpful resource for everyone. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks for the next episode. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional design studio. Check us out at tlccreative.com. Our blog is thepowerpointblog.com, and we do a lot of things on facebook.com/TLC Creative Services.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if your organization is interested in on-site presentation or data viz training, that's what we do. Give us a call.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWiz.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.